Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is the KIX-NQ adapter, how to use a KIX system dump to investigate hangs. Today's presenter is Dan Satchery. Dan has been on the KIX Level 2 team since he joined IBM in 1989. During that time, he has gained broad diagnostic experience in most areas of the product. When the KIX WebSphere-NQ adapter was integrated into KIX and KIX Transaction Server version 3.2, the KIX-NQ interface became one of Dan's specialties. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Dan.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome to everybody out there. It's good to see all those familiar names out there. I would like to say that my presentation today kind of lays the groundwork, really, for investigating a system dump hangs. It discusses the basics of the interface, and we get into some of the dump formatters. It'll take another pitch, though, to delve more deeply into some of the various types of hangs and other problems that can happen. So with that, Joseph, let's go to slide number one, please. Okay, we're going to talk about the basic structure of the KIX-MQ adapter and some differences between the KIX-shipped adapter and the MQ-shipped adapter. Some implications of those differences regarding tuning and monitoring, and we will look at the MQ and KIX dump formatters. Okay, Joseph, let's go to slide number three. So about the adapter, KIX 3.1 is the release of KIX that does not ship the adapter. And so if you're on that release of CICS, you'll use the adapter shipped with whatever release of MQ you are on. And then since KIX 3.2 and above, KIX ships the KIX MQ adapter. Okay? Joseph, let's go on to slide number four, please. Okay, there's one more thing I meant to say, and that is, if you have questions, please remember the slide number, and we can probably bring that slide number back up during the question section. When I did this yesterday for some folks here, there's a good number of questions, and so please do that. Okay, so I'm going to start out with the MQ supplied adapter and talk a little bit about that. It's a good way to help to understand the way it has moved to with the KIX adapter. But the NQ adapter attaches 8 subtest TCBs per KIX region, and these TCBs identify into MQ proper as server threads. And the subtest TCB main program for these is CSQC serve, and these 8 server threads, they service all of the MQ API requests made by the CSS tasks. It's important to know that these server threads, none of them are tied to any of the CSS tasks that are making the MQ API calls. The requests from the tasks are all put on one little queue, and all 8 server threads work off of that queue. And just for the life of the call into MQ, the server thread is doing that task's request. But when it comes back from MQ, the CSS task gets posted back. And that server thread now really has no association or affinity to the CSS task whose API request it just serviced. So, like, if you have, hundreds of CSS tasks all in their processing making some MQ calls, they would all be being serviced by those 8 server threads. A little bit later on, I'm going to talk about a different kind of thread. I think I call it an MQ thread or an application thread. And that's a different kind of a thread. Those threads are they're tied to a task, and they're short-lived with the life of the CSS task. So I just want you to be aware that that's the kind of thread that I'm going to be calling an MQ thread or an application thread that's task-oriented. These server threads are sort of just the underlying TCBs that have told MQ I'm going to be calling you for things. All right, so those are the 8 server threads. Let's go to slide number 5, please, Joseph. Okay, Well, I've already said some of these things. These server threads do not maintain any affinity to the CSS tasks whose requests they service. They pick up a single request, a QRPO. They service it, post back the waiting kicks task, and are then free to handle the next request from any task. The server threads live long-term, usually for the life of the kicks region. Well, actually, in the case of this MQ supplied adapter, these CSQC serve TCBs or server threads would go away if the MQ connection ends. Okay, let's go to slide number 6, please, Joseph. Okay, more on the MQ supplied adapter. The server threads, which are these 8 CSQC serve TCBs, do not come and go, as do short-lived kicks tasks and MQ threads or application threads. An MQ thread or an application thread is a series of control blocks in MQ that belong to a kicks task momentarily during the life of that CSS task. So the first MQ call from a CSS task, these control blocks that make up the application thread, you know, exist. And then they will end when the CSS task ends. CSS will call MQ and say to end that application thread, and it'll go away with the CSS task. So there's these two types of threads. There's the application threads that you will see, like when we look at the dumps later, there's in the MQ formatter, it lays out all the threads. Those are the application threads. You know, an MQ knows about the transaction ID and the task number, and these threads go away when the CSS task goes away. And then there's underlying all of this, there are the server threads. Those are the sort of low-level structural things, just the TCBs, on which the MQ requests are processed. Now, the MQ display thread command actually gives you both. Like if you bring up an MQ attach and don't have any tasks, don't even have the CKTI listener, and then do a display thread, you'll see 9 of these server threads. It displays these 9 things that are server threads. It's the 8+1 controlling thread that I think I haven't mentioned yet. And then as applications start to use the server threads, like you start up a CKTI, then you'll see that as well. Those ones are displayed with the transaction ID and task number of that kicks task that the thread is for. And then as it gets busy, you know, you can see these application threads coming and going. And also those server threads are there as well. Okay, let's move on to slide number 7, please. Okay, now there's the MQC thread parameter. And what it does is it limits the number of server threads. It doesn't at all limit the number of these application threads. And here I mentioned the KIX QRTCB. It's that 9th one. It's a special coordinator server thread. It doesn't service application requests, but it's involved there. That's why there's 9 server threads that show up. Right, so there's the 8 server threads that do the work, and then plus the 1 that makes the 9. So each KIX region, and this is again with the MQ supplied adapter, has 9 of these server threads, and only those server threads are what's taken into consideration regarding C thread. So if you have this one KIX region using the MQ supplied adapter that has, you know, hundreds of tasks running all at once, and so potentially hundreds of application threads at any one moment active, C thread isn't putting a limit on those. It's just the server threads. So any one KIX region, say if you have a KIX 3.1 with the MQ supplied adapter, just is taking up 9 of those C thread slots, no matter how many application tasks are doing their thing on that KIX region. Okay, let's go on to slide number 8, please. Okay, so now let's talk about the CSS supplied adapter. So here there aren't any of those 8 CSQC serve TCBs as the server threads. Here it's the L8 mode TCBs in KIX that are used for the calls to MQ. They are the server threads with the KIX supplied adapter. Of course, the L8TCVs are lots of other things, too. They're just available for tasks to use for whatever needs an L8, a call to DB2 or a call to an open API program, or some CSS functions use the L8s. But the L8s, those are the TCVs that the calls to MQ go over, and so they identify the MQ as a server thread just as the CSQC serve TCVs used to in the MQ supplied attach. So how many server threads might there be in a Kix region? Well, it depends. It can't be any more than max open TCBs. Max open TCBs is a CSS parameter that controls the number of L8 and L9 mode TCBs together. So, you know, potentially they could be all L8s. And so if that's the case and enough tasks exist to cause there to be max open TCBs worth of L8, TCBs doing MQ calls, then potentially there could be max open TCBs worth of server threads identified to MQ, plus the QR would be one more. So there, let's go on to slide number 9, please. Okay, so here's a difference. These LATCB server threads, they're not shared by several tasks running concurrently. CICS, once a task needs an L8TCB, it'll give the task one, and then it remains with that task for its life, for whatever uses it has for it, calling DB2, calling MQ, whatever. See, for the life of a Kix task, the L8TCB server thread is owned exclusively by the task for MQ calls and for other things. The lifetime of an L8TCB is generally of an LATCB server thread is generally the life of the Kix MQ connection. So that's similar to the old attach where those CSQC serves just sat out there all the time. They identified to MQ early on saying, I'll be calling you for requests, and then that's it. Same as with the L8. The first time they're used for an MQ call, they are identified to MQ as a server thread, and then they stay that way constantly throughout the run of Kix. Even if no tasks are using it for anything, it's still sitting out there as a server thread to MQ. One slight little difference here is just for L8s, L8TCBs that aren't used for a few hours, there's a decay algorithm that makes them go away. And so, you know, like overnight, you might lose some. So because of that, the number of server threads to MQ can sort of go up and down a little bit. In the old attach, the old adapter, it was always 9. With the Kix one, it varies a little bit. Okay, let's go to slide number 10, please. All right, so so let's talk about C thread relating to the CSS supplied adapter. Okay, so we've got the Kix QRTCB, just like before, as a special coordinator server thread. And then all of the L8TCBs that have been used for an MQ call, they're server threads. And so if there was enough work so that there was actually max open TCBs worth of server threads, then the most server threads into MQ would be max open TCBs plus 1. I'm not sure I talk about this on the next foil, so I'm going to mention it here. So another difference. So like before, you know, on the MQ adapter, you have these 9 server threads, and then the application threads that are running, you know, you could have lots more, like 100 or so, all working under using those 8 server threads. With the Kix one, it's a little bit more sort of 1-to-1. So let's say you have a high watermark of 100 tasks doing MQ calls at once. Well, all 100 of those would have its own L8TCB. All L8TCBs would be server threads. And there'd be 100 application threads as well. So it's more sort of 1-to-1. If that work suddenly dropped off and now there's no application threads, you'd still have your 100 server threads sitting out there waiting to service new tasks. Okay. Let's go to slide number 11, please, Joseph. Okay, so let's talk about the tuning implications for Cthread. When running MQ version 6 and migrating from Kix 3.1 or lower to Kix 3.2 or 4.1, you need to look at the Cthread parameter in MQ. It very well may need to be raised. Now, one thing to consider is what happens at MQ version 7. At MQ version 7, it's really not anything that you can change anymore. It's set to 32,767, effectively eliminating it. And so that is a viable thing to do at MQ version 6 as well. And then it, you don't have to worry about it, at least in terms of reaching the Cthread limit. I know that is a little bit scary, you know, if you worry about MQ getting hit with way more than it can handle. And so another alternative would be to just raise Cthread by max open TCVs minus 8 per Kix region. All right, I believe on slide number 12, Joseph, let's turn to that. We're going to talk about the costs of a Cthread to MQ. So in terms of storage, it is about 5K from high private in the queue manager address space, and it's about 5K from ECSA. And then there's a little bit in the allied address space, the Kix address space, that comes out of Kix private. And that, if you have those the applicable APAR on, that private storage from the Kix address space is also above the line. It's about 4K. And without that APAR, it's from below the line. So with those APARs on, all of the storage for a server thread is above the line in those three different places. Okay, let's go on to slide number 13. All right, there's an implication for performance monitoring. So the CSQC serve subtasks from the MQ supplied adapter are not managed by the CSS dispatcher, and so any CPU that they use servicing MQ requests can't be charged back to the CSS task. It is you know, part of the Kix address space CPU, but it's not charged to a task. All right, let's go to slide number 14. And the opposite is true here with the CSS supplied adapter, where these are now Kix dispatcher managed TCBs, and so the CPU used to service the MQ requests is measured and attributed to the CSS transaction. And so when you migrate from, say, 3.1 to 3.2 or 4.1, those transactions that do lots of MQ calls, you'll notice having more user CPU time or LH CPU time. So that's definitely an implication on migrating from the MQ supplied attach to the CSS supplied attach. Okay, let's go to slide number 15, please. And here's one. I think most monitors have a way to indicate when an inquire task shows that it's in MQ. It used to be that the task would if caught momentarily off in MQ servicing its request, it would be in that task switch suspend. But now it shows as running. It's running on an L8. There is an attribute on the inquire task that is called current prog that when off in MQ would show the program being DFHMQ true. And I believe that's how most monitors indicate that it's in MQ if the task is in MQ. Okay, so let's go to slide number 16, please. And then in the dumps, there's definitely a different look with the two attaches. So let's go off to slide number 17, and we'll start taking a look at some of the formatters. Okay, so in Kix, the MQ equals 1 formatter is the place to go to see all of the transactions that have done anything with MQ. Let's go to slide number 18, please. So as you scroll down into that output from top to bottom, I've noted a few things. So it'd be a good idea to jot down your Kix job name. I guess that's more something for me rather than you guys, because you know your own job names probably. But so the job name and the ASID number, which we'll need later when we go off into the MQ formatter. Let's go to 519, please. And then you'll need to know the queue manager names. So CSQA is what that one says. So you'll need that as well when you go off into the MQ formatter. So make a note of that as you scroll on down. Let's go to slide 20, please. And then this is the main part of it. So this would be all of the CSS tasks that are doing anything with MQ. You know, each of these tasks would have one of those application threads. So there's a corresponding thread associated with each of these tasks over in MQ. And anyway, so that field on the right, the TCB in MQ, those are, you know, that task is actually doing some sort of MQ API call. Actually, it could be a part of a sync point, a call into MQ that's over there at the moment. Okay, let's go to slide number 21, please. Now, in a dump of the older attach, when using KIX 3.1, in the dispatcher summary, you could see it's in a task switch wait, and in a minute you'll see that in the KIX one, it's running. But this TCB and MQ being yes, that's how you know if it's over an MQ at the moment when you're using the CSS applied attach. Let's go take a look at the dispatcher summary then on slide 22. Okay, so this is that same task I've circled there, task number over on the far right, 75696. So it's the one that showed yes for NMQ. In the dispatcher summary, it shows like that. It's running. One of the columns there is the mode. That's an L8, so it's running on an L8. And we wouldn't know if we came to the dispatcher summary first that this task was necessarily over in MQ. It could be running on an open TCB or a couple other things. But combined from the two formatters, we know that it's currently running over in MQ. Now, one of the problems with it being shown as running now is it doesn't tell us when it became running. Like when you're suspended, you see there's a time of suspend. So if this dump just happened to catch this task just going over to MQ, then that's fine, and that's not a problem. Or if it's been stuck like this for a while, then that's a problem. So here is a way for telling which of those two cases it is. And that is, if you grab that DTA address that I've circled there in the middle and go there, then there's a timestamp that we can use for this purpose. Okay, and the command I have on the bottom there is that IP space L thing. So let's go to slide 23. That's going to show us that. So at offset 58 is this store clock timestamp that is real close, within a tenth of a second, of when this task became running. And that is, in all likelihood, real close to when the task made its MQ call. So if you grab that last command on the bottom there, that LTOD in that double word store clock, then let's go to slide 24, and that gives you something like this. Now, the dispatcher summary timestamps are in store clock format rather than local. So this one gives you both. And it's a good idea to note both. But I just wanted to warn you about that. The dispatcher time of suspend timestamps are in the store clock format, which hasn't been adjusted for leap seconds or time zone or anything. But anyway, the point here was to compare this to time of dump. And if the dump was taken at about 7:45:54 local time, then this task isn't one to worry about. But if it's been out there, if the dump was taken, you know, well after this task became running on the L8, then that TCB running that task would be something we would want to investigate. Okay, let's go on to slide 25, please. Okay, so if this one was one where it had become running several minutes prior to the dump time and therefore has been stuck running for those 2 minutes, and we wanted to investigate it, we would need the TCB address so you could go do some TCB things like some format and this and that. So how do you do that? In the DS equals 1 output, down below this initial summary, there's another summary that gives you that information. So you could scroll down there. We're going to get it on slide 26. So let's go there, please, Joseph. And it's this task using OpenTCB's summary. So there's our task, task 75696, and there's his MVS TCB address so that you could go in system trace, perhaps, to see if it's looping or not, and then off into some format, you know, to get the RV structure for that TCB, things like that. So you would need the TCB address, and that's how you get that. I just want to say a few words about this. You know, in this summary, this would be all the tasks that have an L8 TCB. So in this summary, you know, tasks that aren't doing any MQ calls, you know, if they're maybe doing DB2 work or something, they would have an L8 TCB. And so it's not just MQ stuff. But for sure, all of the tasks that are in that MQ equals 1 summary, doing MQ work, they would all be in this summary as well with their TCB listed beside the task number. Okay, let's go to slide 27, please, Joseph. Okay, we're going to now take a quick look at the MQ formatter. And for that, there in blue, that's the command that you need to do. And, of course, the subsystem name, that's what we got noted from the MQ equals 1 summary earlier. And then once in that output, you're going to find on the ASID in that form I have there, X, like in this case, 0182. So let's go to slide 28, please. And this will be our hit when we found on X0182. So these are the application threads, the MQ application threads, that series of control blocks. They're all lined up one per line here. That is the thread, the application thread. And you can see how, you know, CLCS passes over to MQ the TRAN ID and the task number. That's why it's able to display that. And this should really match up pretty much exactly in most cases with the MQ equals 1 summary. All the tasks in there you would expect to find in here. One thing I want to note is that this APAR, this version 7 APAR, is pretty new, this PK75212. And it changed this a little bit. I'll show you in just a moment. It used to include threads that really weren't application threads anymore. They were, but now they're kind of free control blocks ready to be plugged into ready to become a thread again. They showed up here as well. Let's look at that on slide 29, an example of that. So the ones that have all zeros for the thread, those are ones that they're just really control blocks that were used as a thread, and that thread has ended, that application thread has ended. But it's displayed here anyway. And it was kind of confusing. And so after that APAR at version 7, you don't have those sort of old free threads showing up in the summary. And then another difference, you'll notice here there's no TCB address given in the prior one from that version 7 with the APAR. It is there. And that would be the TCB that thread last used. Okay, let's go on to slide number 30, please. Okay, so I wanted to point out a couple of neat changes that are with TIX 4.1 in the monitoring formatter that is useful for a myriad of problems when you're looking through dumps for various things. And essentially, I think I've talked about on some of these WSTIs before about how to grab information out of the TMA, and this formats it out for you in a DFH dollar malls kind of a style. It's very nice. I want to call your attention to it. Let's go to slide 31, please, Joseph. And as we work our way down to that new thing, I just want to point out a few things to note as you scroll down from the top in this MN equals 3 output. First of all, you don't get any of this good stuff I'm about to show you if performance monitoring and monitoring isn't active. And so you can tell right up front if it is. And this, these TMAs, transaction monitoring areas, in this dump had 53. So this one's good to go. Let's go on to slide number 32, please. And just a couple of odds and ends about start time. In the TMA information, it is going to show you the start time. And that doesn't necessarily equate exactly with the time the task actually started. If any of these are active, then it can change that. Like, let's take that top one, MN converse equals is yes. So that means for a conversational task, every time we send the screen back to the terminal, we're going to dump all the monitoring stuff and reset everything and start over. And so on the next iteration of the conversation, you know, the start time will consider to be, you know, that time of converse, not the time of task attached. Or probably more common would be using MN frequency. And there for long-running tasks, you know, we, like every 30 minutes or so, if you make it so, we'll dump everything and start over. So when using that, those long-running tasks would show a start time of, you know, since the last 30-second thing started, not going back all the way to the beginning. Okay, so let's go on down some more. Slide 33, please. Okay, and there's a lot of stuff in there. You can do a find on that TMA-data and get down to this new summary that I wanted to call your attention to. So this is useful to me just because it's a place that lays out, you get the transaction ID, the task number, start time, and then a couple of those monitoring fields that sometimes come into play in performance problems a lot, like the change mode delay, dispatch wait time, all lined up there so you can see at a glance more easily than before. Let's go to slide 34. I'm going to stay on this one, I believe, and talk about a few of the things. So there's one point. All the times in here are store clock. So when you compare these times to the time of the dump, you would need to know the time of the dump in store clock, not local. The running thing that you see under the suspend time. So what that means is the suspend clock is running. And so all these tasks, these are all, you know, long-running kicks tasks that aren't very interesting. But they're currently suspended. That's why their suspend time clock is running, and it doesn't give you the total suspend time accrued so far. Dispatch time, you see, it has the total dispatch time accrued so far, and that's because they're not currently dispatched. Let's go to slide 35, please. Okay. I think I've scrolled down a little bit more towards the bottom of that where the application transactions are. And then there you see an example of some tasks that are currently dispatched. Their dispatch time clock is running. And so up in the upper right-hand corner, I've just found out the time of the dump in store clock terms. And so I can see, say, for that top task in the summary there, when I compare the time of the dump to the start time of the task, I see the task started about 18 minutes ago. And then another, you know, to deal with the running, it's a little bit frustrating sometimes to, you wish it would just tell you how much time it has been dispatched. And so you have to do a little bit of math on this. So a task is always either dispatched or it's suspended. And so since it has been suspended pretty much nothing, then you know it's been dispatched all that time. So for all those 18 minutes, since the start time of that task, it's been dispatched. So that's one way to deal with that running thing. Let's go on to slide number 36, please. And since I've already talked about that, let's move on to slide 37. And then let's go on to slide 38. And this will be the TMA detail section. So this is really really nice if you have a task that you know, maybe it's supposed to be short running and it's been out there for an hour or something, and you want to go see, well, what has this thing done during its life? This TMA detail is what you need. This is just a piece of it I have given here. You know, it's pretty much all those monitoring fields. It doesn't show you the things that are nothing, the things that are zero. And like this task here is probably a long-running listener kind of a, MQ listener kind of a task, like that top field that's IC put count, I believe. So you have 953,000 of those. Sync point count, the third from the top. The next one, WMQ request count. So you can see all that kind of stuff, and CPU time, lots of stuff, which is very useful in investigating tasks that aren't behaving as you expect in a dump. Okay, that's pretty much it. I have on slide 39 a little bit of a reference information. I made reference earlier to comparing to the time the dump was taken. So let's go to slide 39, please, Joseph. And this is just a little... a few slides on a way that I like to use when I want to know when was the dump taken. Say, I think I take it through one at a time. So let's go on to slide 40. So you do systrace all, like that, and then slide 41, please. And then max at the bottom. And grab over on the right that double word store clock. And slide 42, please. And then you do that LTOD on it, and it'll give you the time of the dump, both in store clock format and local format. And I believe this is one that I've used from one of my other WSDs a year or so ago, where it's a little bit surprising. If you look at the, you see it's not an even number of hours for the difference between local and store clock, and that's a leap second thing. But anyway, anyway, you need to note the local time of dump and store clock time of dump, and both of those will come in useful as you travel through the dump. Note, there's the summary on slide 43, please, Joseph. Let's go to that one. So what did we talk about? We discussed the differences between the MQ supplied adapter and the CICS supplied adapter. We discussed the difference between server threads, which are or were limited by the MQC thread parameter, and regular task-oriented threads. We use the kicks and MQ dump formatters to show how tasks and threads and TCBs relate. And we looked at the new transaction monitoring area formatter done by the kicks TS4.1 dump formatter. And so with that, I thank you guys for your attention, and I'll turn it back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Dan, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Kathleen, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, I'm showing no questions on the phone lines.
Thank you, Kathleen. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.